Welcome to DNB College. Today we're cleaning a subweight roller in Ableton Live 12 for that jungle and old school DNB vibe. And I want to be very clear about what that means. We are not just making a bass line sound bigger in solo, we are making it hit like a proper roller in context, under drums, with weight, control, and enough space for the kick and snare to do their job, because that's the real test in DNB. A bass line can sound massive by itself and still ruin the track once the drums come in. If the sub is sloppy, too long, too wide, or too dense, the whole tune starts feeling late and muddy. But when it's cleaned up properly, the bass doesn't fight the groove. It becomes the groove. So let's build this the right way. First, start with the MIDI, before you touch sound design. That's where the real cleanup begins. Open your bass clip and look closely at the note lengths. For a subweight roller, the notes should usually be tighter than you think. Shorten any notes that overlap into the next kick or snare unless that overlap is intentional for glide or phrasing. In dense sections, you're often aiming for note lengths that sit somewhere around an eighth to a quarter note, with longer holds only, where the drum pattern leaves real space. Why this works in DNB is simple. Rollers rely on motion, not blur. If every note is too long, the bass smears across the break and the snare loses definition. Clean note lengths make the bass feel like it's dancing with the drums instead of sitting on top of them. What to listen for here is the snare pocket. Loop two bars and pay attention to whether the snare has a clean opening in the bass line. If the bass is still blooming when the snare lands, it's probably too long. Trim first, process later. Next, split the bass into two rolls. This is a huge part of getting the weight right. You want a true sub layer and a character layer. The sub layer should be simple, clean, and mono. Think sine-like energy, a stable fundamental, and very little else. In Ableton, put utility on it and set the width to 0%. If needed, use EQ 8 to gently keep extra harmonics out of the way, maybe low-passing around 120 to 180 Hz depending on the source. If the sub needs a little density, a touch of saturator can help, but keep it subtle. We're talking a small amount of drive, not obvious distortion. The character layer is where you give the bass its attitude. That can be the saw, a filtered square, or a resampled gritty texture. Here you can use auto filter, EQ 8, saturator, overdrive, or a compressor if the dynamics are jumping around too much. The goal is not to make it huge in the lows. The goal is to make it readable, especially on smaller speakers in the 200 Hz to 1k Hz zone. And here's the key decision. If the drums are already busy and detailed, keep the character layer restrained. Let the sub do the heavy lifting. If the track needs more menace or more presence on smaller systems, let the character layer bark a little more. Both approaches are valid. Just choose based on the arrangement, not on habit. Now bring the kick and snare back and straight away. Don't tune the bass in solo and hope it behaves later. Loop the drums and bass together. This is where you check the relationship, not just the sound. You want the sub to support the kick, not sit on top of it. In many DNB tracks, the useful low-end lives around 40 to 60 Hz, but the exact note choice matters more than chasing a frequency number. If your kick has a strong low punch, choose bass notes that don't constantly collide with it. If the low end gets louder but less defined when both play together, that's usually a sign of too much overlap or too much sustained sub-energy. What to listen for here is the front edge of the kick. The kick should still speak clearly, and the bass should feel like it arrives around it, not over it. If the kick disappears, the bass is too heavy in the wrong place. Then shape the envelopes. This is where the roller breathes. If your instrument allows it, keep the attack fast and the release fairly short. You want the notes to start cleanly and stop cleanly enough that they don't smear into the next event. A release somewhere around 80 to 250 milliseconds can be a useful starting point, depending on tempo and density. If you're working with audio, edit the clip lengths and fades directly, and don't make everything perfectly even. That's a common mistake. In jungle and old school DNB, a little asymmetry can be part of the vibe. Some notes can be longer to create tension, especially before a snare. Others should be clipped tighter so the pattern steps forward. That tension and release is what makes the line feel alive. If the bass already feels locked after the note cleanup, stop there for a second. Seriously, don't add processing just because the chain looks empty. A lot of low-end problems are arrangement problems, not mix problems. Now let's add movement, but carefully. The mistake in dark rollers is usually too much modulation in the low end. You want variation, not wobble. So keep the pure sub mostly fixed, and automate the character layer instead. Open and close the filter over 4 or 8 bars. Ease the drive up slightly into a phrase end. Maybe let the upper harmonics open up just enough on the second half of the loop to create tension. You don't need giant sweeps. Tiny changes often read more musical in this style. If the bass feels anchored but you can still hear the tone shifting a little, you're in the right area. What to listen for here is stability versus life. The bass should still feel rooted, but not dead. If the low end starts breathing in an obvious or distracting way, the modulation is too deep, or it's happening too low in the spectrum. Now let's talk about sidechain and transient control. In D&B, sidechain is not about making the track pump for the sake of it. It's about protecting the kick transient and keeping the snare pocket open. A compressor on the bass group can help, but only lightly. Fast enough to catch the kick, moderate ratio, short release so it recovers quickly. That's the idea. But if you find yourself crushing the bass harder and harder, pause. Often the better fix is simpler. Shorten the notes. Clean up the spacing. Reduce overlap. Compression can polish the groove, but it should not be forced to solve a writing problem. A really useful stock chain on the bass group is simple. EQA to remove useless rumble, a compressor for small dynamic containment, and maybe saturator to restore perceived density after you trim peaks. Keep it intentional. Keep it lean. Once the character layer feels right, commit it. Resample it, freeze and flatten it, or bounce it to audio. This is a smart move because it stops endless tweaking, and it gives you precision. Now you can trim transients, cut tiny holes before snare hits, adjust clip fades, and place micro gaps exactly where the groove needs them. And this is another big D&B truth. Sometimes the best bass move is a tiny gap. A brief breath before the snare can create more menace than adding another note. What to listen for after resampling is whether the bass still feels alive. If it suddenly feels flat, the problem may have been overprocessing before printing. But if it sounds tighter and clearer, you've probably committed at the right moment. From here, nudge the bass against the drums. Don't just quantize everything into a rigid grid. If the break has swing or ghost note motion, the bass often feels better when it responds to that pocket. Some notes can sit a few milliseconds earlier or later, especially ghosty mid-bass stabs or phrase end accents. Keep the important sub-anchor solid, though. You want control, not drift. And don't forget the arrangement. A roller is not just a loop. It needs phrasing. You can go for constant pressure, where the bass line stays active with minimal variation, or you can build call and response, where the bass leaves gaps and answers itself over 4 or 8 bars. Both work. Constant pressure is great for hypnotic weight. Call and response is great when you want more movement and a stronger second drop. A very solid old school style approach is to keep the first half of the phrase stripped and functional, then add a small change in bars 7 and 8. Maybe a little octave accent. Maybe a slightly more open character layer. Maybe one brief gap before the next phrase hits. That's enough to keep the line evolving without rebuilding the whole thing. And through all of this, keep checking the bass in mono. This is non-negotiable. Put utility on the bass group, collapse it, and see if the foundation still holds. If the bass loses weight in mono, your character layer is probably carrying too much essential information, or the low end is too wide. The sub should stay centered and solid. Width belongs, if anywhere, in the higher layer. Also check the track at lower monitoring volume. That's a great discipline pass. If the bass still reads as a clear pulse when the room is quieter, the groove is probably organized correctly. If it only feels huge when it's loud, you may be relying too much on rumble and not enough on shape. A quick reminder here, clean does not mean sterile. In this style, clean means every low-end event has a job. Anchor, answer, or create space for impact. That's it. That's the mindset. Let me also give you a few smart advanced habits. Version the bass early. Save a clean version, a darker version, and a more aggressive one once the movement is working. That gives you fast arrangement options later. And if the bass starts feeling emotionally flat after cleanup, don't immediately add more effects. First try a tiny rhythmic change. Shorten a note before the snare. Shift a pickup into bar 1. Those tiny moves can bring the whole line back to life. So, to recap the process, clean the MIDI note lengths first, split the bass into a mono sub and a character layer, make sure the kick and snare still breathe, shape the envelope so the line steps forward, automate the character layer gently, use compression lightly if needed, resample once the movement feels right, then check mono, headroom, and the groove in full context. If you do that properly, the bass stops sounding like a muddy loop and starts sounding like a real D&B roller. Heavy, disciplined, and locked into the break. Now it's your turn. Take the 8-bar practice loop and clean it down to just 2 bass layers. Keep the sub mono. Print at least 1 version of the character layer to audio. Make one meaningful phrase change in the second half, then test it in mono and at low volume. If it still feels solid there, you're on the right track. Do that, and you're not just making bass louder, you're making it roll.